Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
You know, the Word of God is filled with example after example, the Lord elevating people. In order for them to be of greater use in the kingdom of God. Our theme this year is Elevate 2024. The Apostle Paul, when he's preaching and Luke records his sermon, he's in the city of Athens, Greece. He said these words, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands cannot serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From the one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and when they should fall, and he determined their boundaries." So Paul is preaching to these Greek philosophers, and he says, it is God who determines their boundaries. For you see, God works in time to accomplish his great purposes and his plan of salvation. In the same sermon, Paul said these words, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Aren't you thankful for that truth? He is not far from any one of us. And then Paul says these most famous words, for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. See, God's purpose and plans include a personal relationship with you and I, his creation. This is a life of adventure. It's a life of fullness and richness. Now, not necessarily with material things, but rich and full in relationships and contentment. This wonderful life he calls us to is a satisfied life, a life full of peace and a joyful life. It is a good life. Can anybody testify? That's why the Apostle Peter writes this, "Now that you have tasted of the Lord's kindness." Can anybody testify and say you have experienced the Lord's kindness in your life? Well, this morning, I want to take you to a person in the scriptures who God uses mightily. And I want to take you to the beginning of their ministry when God was about to elevate this person to a new level. To a new level of effectiveness, to a new level of ministry, but also to a new level of commitment. And his name is Elisha. So turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 19 and down to verse 21. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders, and then he walked away. Elisha, undoubtedly understanding the importance of this, left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen, and he slaughtered them. And he used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Talking about this theme of God elevating, God taking you to one place to another that is higher, a place of effectiveness. You'll notice in the notes that you received when you came in, the first thing we want to talk about is Elisha was plowing a field. Now, there is no indication from Scripture that Elisha ever expected this anointing, this calling. What we glean from the Word of God is it appears Elisha is in the waiting. Anybody been in a season of waiting before? You know, it's really more important than sometimes you realize, because what you do in the waiting is going to determine whether or not you are ready for God to bring elevation, for God to bring promotion. What we learn about Elisha is he was plowing a team of oxen in the fields. Other words, he was working. He was doing what he knew to do. He was doing what was in front of him. Now, as we apply this to our own personal lives, we apply this to our spiritual walk, it's important that we do what is in front of us. It's important that we are faithful to what God has placed before us. We might be in the waiting, but it's imperative that we are faithful while in the waiting. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be faithful. Matter of fact, I want you to take your notes out and write that word faithful. Be faithful to what is in front of you. What we also learn about Elisha is he was very industrious. It was a time of national crisis. The geopolitical scene was brutal, and God's people were not following him in the ways of the Lord. But God had a remnant. How many know God always has a remnant? People who are wholeheartedly serving him. Verse 19 simply says, Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. See, I believe that when we are faithful in the little things, our Father who is in heaven will see, and he will bring promotion. He will bring elevation. How can we ever be faithful in the things of God if we're not first faithful in the things of our own household? See, often we're waiting till something big happens before we are committed. We're waiting for something big and miraculous to happen before we give God that tithe, or before we give God that praise, or before we exercise commitment in our life. What about showing commitment today? What about being faithful today in the small things? Because he who is faithful in the small things will be faithful in the greater things. Can somebody give God praise today? Joseph Exel writes this: it was while he was following the plow that Elijah came upon him and threw his mantle over him. God would teach us that we must not neglect our daily business, and that his rich blessing will descend upon us while we are yet serving him. You never know which day that you're plowing that your Elijah is going to show up. You never know which day that the Lord is just going to peer over heaven and say, well, now's the time. Today's the day. So it's imperative to be faithful day in and day out. It's imperative to be about the work of serving day in and day out, because you don't know when that Kairos moment may happen. You don't know when that suddenly is going to take place. And it's important that you are in position when the suddenly happens. It's important that you are there when God decides to bring promotion. Work serve, be about the Father's business. Elisha was plowing a field. Don't miss this. Keep plowing where God has you at this moment in life. Elisha was faithful in his father's household. Elijah found him plowing. And then you fast forward to the time for Elijah to leave this world. And Elisha wanted a double portion. Elijah told him, "You must be there when I am taken. You must witness the event." In other words, it's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some follow through on you. But guess what? Elisha already knew what it was to be faithful. He already knew what it was to follow through. He already knew what it was to be committed. He already knew what it was to persevere. So when the chariot of fire came, Elisha found himself in position. Let me tell you what your faithfulness does today, what your follow-through does today, what your commitment does today. It keeps you in position. Yeah. What am I telling you, church? I'm telling you to keep plowing. I'm telling you to stay faithful. I'm telling you to keep doing what is in front of you so when the Lord gets ready to elevate you, you will be in position. You'll be ready and you will not miss your opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, keep plowing. Stay faithful. Keep showing up. Keep serving. Keep doing what is in front of you. At the right moment, in the right season, in the fullness of time, the Lord will elevate you." But get this, sometimes the Lord may have you do something you do not like. Sometimes the Lord may have you doing something that you just don't love. And sometimes what you're doing doesn't have the sparkle. But this is the time to keep plowing. This is the time to keep working. This is the time to keep believing and keep serving, because your day is coming, because the Lord is working. I want to show you something. Elisha did not understand. He did not know that the Lord had already spoken to Elijah, and Elijah was looking for Elisha. If you back up a few verses to verse 15, the Lord told Elijah, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nishi, to be king of Israel. Then anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to replace you as my prophet." See, it had already been decreed, it had already been settled that Elisha was going to be anointed as the successor of Elijah. But I submit to you, when he's plowing the field, he had no indication. He didn't know it. He was just being faithful to what was in front of him. And church, God has already marked you for elevation. God has already marked you for blessing. God has already determined through Jesus Christ to bless you from the head to the feet, to bless you and to anoint you and to make you the head and not the tail. He's already, through Christ, decided in advance to adopt you as sons and daughters. You're brought into the family. You no longer have to worry about just getting the crumbs. You got the whole table. It's yours. He's already decided to elevate you. Elisha was marked for this next season, even when he didn't realize it, even when he didn't comprehend it, but he was faithful to keep plowing. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you're marked for blessing. Keep plowing." Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7, the NIV says, "No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man. It is God who judges. He brings one down and he exalts another." In other words, it is God who elevates. And there's no indication in Scripture in our passage that would suggest that Elisha was aware that Elijah was looking for him. There's no indication through Scripture that Elisha was aware that the Lord was about to call him and that he had been marked for a greater purpose. But I want you to see this. Plowing the field was not his determined purpose, but it was his training ground. Plowing the field was not his determined purpose, but it was the training ground. What you're walking through right now, the season you find yourself in, it may not be your determined purpose, but I promise you it is your training ground. And it's important that you see it as a training ground. It's important that you don't quit. It's important you don't give up. It's important that whatever you do it as unto the Lord. It's important that you find yourself faithful. It's important that you follow through. It's important that you keep serving. See, it may not be your appointed thing, your thing that God has for you, but it is your training ground. It's preparing you for that next season. And you may not be aware, you may not see it coming, but the Lord has already marked you for promotion. Your Elijah is already on his way. So write this under four. It is important for you to stay in position. The enemy's doing everything he can to get you out of position. The enemy's trying his best to get you so discouraged, so fed up, that you just throw in the towel. That you quit showing up to church. That you quit showing up to reading your Bible. That you quit showing up and trusting his promises. Matter of fact, you got people in your ear telling you, why don't you go to church? Why do you keep believing these things? Can I tell you why? Because we're plowing. Till God shows up. We're being faithful to what he's called us to. You may be in a season that you don't like right now. You may be doing something that you're not very passionate about, but you keep plowing. You keep, because Elijah is on the way, and he's been told from God, take your mantle and throw it over the shoulders of Elisha, because Elisha has already been marked for promotion. You keep plowing. You keep being faithful. You keep showing up and watch the Lord work on your behalf. It was necessary for Elisha to be found plowing, to be in position. The devil is going to try his best to get you out of position. The devil's going to try his best to get you frustrated, to get you agitated, and to get you to the point of quitting. But hear me, do not quit. Keep plowing. Do not stop. Keep plowing. Do not become agitated. Yeah. Keep plowing. Stay in position, because you've been marked and God is going to elevate you in due season. Listen to what the word says in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Ooh, don't be weary in doing what is right, because in due season, in that kairos moment, in that appointed time, you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Notice Elijah arrives. Notice what takes place. Elijah was on a mission to find Elisha. God had spoken to him in verse 16 and said, listen, go find Elisha, son of Shaphat, and I want you to anoint him to be the prophet that's going to replace you. Write this. Elijah was on a mission, and the mission was to find Elisha. He threw his cloak across his shoulders. Elijah went over to him, threw his cloak across his shoulders, and then he walked away. One commentary states this: the mantle or robe worn by Elijah was a symbol of his position. So Elisha will understand the importance of Elijah taking the mantle and throwing it over his shoulders. It's like he's transferring one position to another. He's marking him, letting him know that elevation is coming to your house. There are 12 teams of oxen plowing in this communal field, and Elijah's looking for one particular team of oxen being plowed by one particular man. The Word biblical commentary writes this: dramatically, Elijah lets 11 ox teams pass him and then cast his mantle. His mantle, the token of spiritual power over Elisha. And then he walks away. The young people have this saying, it's this, that mic drop moment. Just walk away. You don't need words. Elijah watches 11 other teams of oxen pass by. The 12th team, there's Elisha. He's the man. He's the man who's marked by God. He walks over to him, and Elijah takes his mantle and throws it over the shoulders of Elisha, and he walks away. Let's talk a minute about the call of Elisha. Verse 20, it says, Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." And Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." One theologian says the call of Elisha is very striking. It was wholly unexpected, unlooked for on his part, but on the Lord's part, long ordained and long intended. The word says that God is always ready to help us to follow his plan. Even if we are surprised by it, or even if we feel like we're not ready, for whom God calls, he also equips. And he loves us, even though we may not feel like we deserve his love. And his plan is bigger for us, much bigger and better than we could ever dream, we could ever imagine. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, chapter 3, verse 20. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Yeah. Joseph Exel, commenting on this passage, said this: "We must cultivate a spirit of attentive, prayerful readiness." See, Elisha plowing in the field is symbolic of you and I cultivating an attentive prayerfulness, listening to what thus saith the Lord is, listening to what the Lord wants to do in our heart, in our life. Elisha ran after Elijah. There's immediate response. He left the oxen standing there. And the implication is, in the middle of the field, Elisha left the oxen standing there because Elisha understood the significance of the mantle being placed over his shoulders. It was a calling to follow in the ministry of Elijah. It was Elijah's mantle placed upon his shoulders. It was a calling to a ministry similar to his. This would have been seen by the other prophets. This would have been known by the other residents of the village that God was elevating Elisha. It was a solemn call. And here Elisha's response: "Let me kiss my mom and dad goodbye, and then I will go with you." And Elijah grants him his request because it sounds reasonable. When we hear that, we're like, yes, That's a good thing. But notice how Elijah replied: "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." The King James says it this way: "Go back, for what have I done to you?" The New Living Translation catches the nuance of the original language. James Fawcett and Brown write this: go, but keep in mind the solemn ceremony that I have just performed upon you. It is not I, but God who calls you. Do not allow any earthly affection to detain you from obeying the call. Go do what you must do, but think about what I have done. Think about this moment. And church, is imperative that you and I understand that when God elevates us, it's not just for the sake of elevation. When God gives you promotion, it's not just for the sake of promotion. He does so because there is a more effective ministry that he has for you. You're going to be more effective, more reach more people. You'll be a light shining in the darkness. See, it's not just about you, but it's about who God wants to reach. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. It's about kingdom principles and kingdom purpose. So Elijah told Elisha, it's imperative. You've got to think about what I have done. Think about what I'm calling you to do. Because it's going to require something of you. See, when God elevates you, it requires something of us. When God promotes us, it requires something of us. Which brings us to our last thought. Write this: no turning back. Elisha speaks to you and to me about no turning back. So Elisha, verse 21, returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople. They all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Notice the actions of Elisha. He slaughtered the oxen. This speaks of commitment to something greater. See, the action symbolizes Elisha's unwavering commitment to the call of God. It's in our daily lives that we too face different things where we must decide, are we going to surrender this to God? Are we going to give it to God? Are we willing to leave the comfort of what is familiar to us and say, Lord, have it all. Let us be like Elisha. Unafraid to leave our comfort zones to answer our own unique calls. Also speaks of sacrifice. Elisha doesn't just leave. He slaughters his oxen and then uses the wood from the plow to roast the meat. The plow represents his ability to earn a living. You know, often theologians say that this passage is used as symbolic of how salvation is, that when we accept Christ, how we're to leave everything and not turn back, but go all in with God. I can't argue with that because Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you can't put your hands to the plow and then turn back. You got to go all in. You got to be committed. And church, when he calls you to salvation, it's about burning the things of your old life. It's about putting those things back and following him into this new relationship. But you're also finding this journey, in this walk with God, that there are seasons he's going to call you to sacrifice some things. He's going to call you to let go of some things because there's a higher season. There's a higher elevation he wants to call you to. And there's no way that you can be effective if you're not willing to let go. And you're not willing to turn loose. There are some things you have to sever ties with. I think one thing is this: limitations. How many times do we say, somebody challenges us and we say, yes, yes, but. And we automatically think of why we can't do something. See, you got to sever ties with limitations, your mindset. You have to sever ties with a wrong mindset of negativity. How many times do we read scriptures and we suddenly think, oh, well, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. And you can believe it for your brother or sister, but you can't believe it for yourself because you have this wrong mindset. You have this mindset of negativity. You have to sever ties with fear. Fear will paralyze you. Perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And there comes a time when you got to sever ties with fear. Say, no, I will not be paralyzed. I will trust in the goodness of God. And then you'll notice what happens. You'll notice that he follows Elijah. He went with him to be his assistant. This shows humility. He demonstrated humility, recognizing he had much to learn from Elijah. In church, no matter how far we progress in life, there is always more to learn. See, humility enables growth. Humility positions us for elevation. See, I believe that God's purpose and God's plans include, yes, a personal relationship with you, his creation. It's a life of adventure. It's a life of fullness and richness. And maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you feel like the cost has just been too great. But I promise you today, if you will surrender to the call of salvation, if you'll surrender to God, if you'll be willing to symbolically slaughter those oxen and that plow in your life and say, Lord, here I am, I promise you, God will bless you greater than you ever dreamed possible. God was going to elevate Elisha. And when Elijah was sent to look for Elisha, he found him plowing a field. Maybe you've been plowing for years. Maybe you've been plowing for some time now. I've come alongside of you to encourage you. Keep plowing. Stay faithful. Maybe you've been praying for years. Maybe you've been showing up for years. Maybe you've been serving for years. And maybe you just wonder, when's going to be my time? Be faithful. Keep showing up because God is going to work on your behalf. Stay in position. Elisha was in position whenever Elijah came for him. And when the time came for Elijah to be taken out of this world, Elisha was there because he already learned what commitment was. He already learned what it was to keep showing up. He already learned what it was to persevere. So when it came time for him to persevere, guess what? He was there when the chariot of fire came and Elijah let go of that mantle. He picked it up and he began to walk in a greater effectiveness. Don't wait till tomorrow to be faithful. Be faithful today. Don't wait till tomorrow to be committed. Be committed today. Don't wait till tomorrow to plow. Keep plowing today. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into your heart what the Lord has prepared for you. Keep showing up. Keep plowing. Keep trusting. Keep worshiping. Don't worry about the naysayers. Don't worry about what the other people are doing. You keep showing up. God sees you, and God will reward you. Somebody give him praise today. Can we stand together?